The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The Eagles are at the podium, and we are on to Atlanta. I am your host, Michael Kist. Shout out to Bleeding Green Nation and SB Nation for making all of this possible. And today we have a triple decker of press conferences for you. Before we get to that, some quick plugs. Check out the most recent Kist and Solak in your feed, episode 116. Me and Benjamin Solak broke down the coach's film of Eagles week one, their win over Washington, including thoughts on Jim Schwartz's cornerback deployment and alignment, Carson Wentz's big day with Deshaun Jackson, a little more Deshaun Jackson, some offense and defensive line play, the loss of Malik Jackson for the season, and we also take a look around the NFL for some of our week one takeaways overall. There's also a new QB SCO show coming your way later today, where me and Mark Schofield will talk about Wentz's first week in action, and we'll start to preview the week two matchup, breaking down the Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan. Then there's going to be a very special BGN radio later this week that I know you will enjoy, followed by the debut of Babes on Broad with new BGN talents, Sam Wilson of 97.5 The Fanatic and Jessica Town. Plus, two more preview shows coming your way as me and Solak will break down the offense versus defense and defense versus offense in two separate shows as we prep for the Falcons. All that coming your way here on BGN. So make sure you're subscribed to the feed and also following at BGN_radio to get notified when these shows are dropping. One quick note before getting into some Eagles news, and it's a correction from the last Kist and Solak show. I erroneously said the Eagles play the Jaguars this year. That was dead wrong. I think I had a 2018 Eagles Pro Reference tab open, so please roast me. I deserve all of your scorn, and I apologize. As far as the news goes, the Eagles have signed six-year vet defensive tackle Akeem Spence. He spent last year with the Dolphins and has 57 starts in his last 88 games. He started all 16 last year while playing for the Dolphins defensive coordinator and current Eagles defensive specialist Matt Burke. So this is somebody that the Eagles are familiar with, at least Burke anyway. And it's obviously that this is a response to Malik Jackson being out for the season. The Eagles also waived tight end Alex Ellis, who is impressive as a pass catcher in preseason, but has a ways to go as a run blocker. If he clears waivers, and my guess is he will, the Eagles can always sign him back on the practice squad. We'll keep you abreast of any new moves as the week goes along. All right, so as I already said, there are three press conferences in this puppy. We've got Doug Peterson from September 9th, that's Monday, and then from Tuesday, two press conferences with Mike Groh, followed by Jim Schwartz. Let's see what they had to say when they were at the podium.
Malik Jackson, is there an update on him?
There is. We're still waiting on a few more test results with him, but it's a significant injury that is going to require some time.
You got enough out of your pass rush yesterday to be happy with the way
I thought the second half we did. First half, and again, by design, the ball was coming out of Case's hand pretty quick. A lot of play action up there, seven and eight man protection scheme. So it kind of stymied the rush a little bit. But I thought in the second half we made a conscious effort to really get after him in their offensive line with the four guys we did, pressure a little bit, made the difference in the second half.
Is Jackson need some surgery or what's the plan?
That's why we're waiting on some more information on him.
Is it possible he'd be back this year?
Yeah, until we find out more, I really can't answer that right at this time. We're gonna wait and see. If we do, we may do something tomorrow.
What did you see from those other guys, Jernigan and his son?
Yeah, I thought Jernigan, you know, was disruptive at times. I thought Hassan, you know, got in there, especially late in the game when Malik came out, you know, had a couple of pressure moments there. You know, and again, getting in game action, you know, it's a little different. Speed's a little bit different, but I thought both guys were disruptive, and Timmy in particular did some really nice things.
The other guys coming back from injuries, like Brandon, Fletcher, Bradham, you know, Darby. I mean, they all played a lot of snaps. I mean, was that more than you expected? Were you impressed with how they were able to handle it? And what does that mean going forward?
Yeah, you know, we monitored them during the game. We wanted to make sure that we weren't getting, you know, overworked, I guess. But the guys you mentioned played outstanding, starting with Brandon Brooks. You know, he was explosive. Being able to come off the ball, change of direction. It just looked like he picked up where he left off. And, you know, Fletcher was the same way early in the game. You could see the explosiveness, the explosion off the ball, you know, the quick trigger that he has. And the same with even, you know, I'll even put Derek Barnett in that group. You know, Derek Barnett was that way throughout the game. And Nigel, I think, getting back into rhythm and, you know, controlling the defense and making the calls really settled in, and all those guys did some really nice things.
What happened on the Vernon Davis touchdown? What did you see when you watched that?
We just missed the tackle. You know, it was kind of a late throw. You know, Case was on the perimeter, had a chance to hit him right away. You know, kind of looked back inside, hit him late on the sideline, and then we just flat out missed the tackle and had a chance to get him out of bounds or at least get him on the ground.
You went through a stretch in the second half where I think you converted 8 straight third down opportunities. Aside from brilliant play calling, of course, what was the nature of the turnaround from the first half where you guys were able to extend those drives and stay on the field?
And honestly, it was the difference between the two halves. I mean, you think about defensively, we couldn't get off the field on third down in the first half, but yet we did in the second half. And then offensively, we couldn't convert a third down in the second half. We did. So, you know, it's just a credit to the guys making subtle adjustments at halftime, but, you know, just boiled down to execution, you know, and the only way we were going to get back into the game was to convert those, honestly. They did a nice job doing that.
You seem to lean on Darren a fair amount early on, and then work with Jordan and Miles Kinnear as the game went on. Is it simply an opponent by opponent, week by week basis as to who gets more work, or is there, what's the kind of the governing thinking?
Yeah, as you guys know, when we put the run game together, we talked about this. You know, we think about the backs and who's going to be in on certain plays, and just kind of the way the game went, the type of running game that it became. You know, Darren's number was on some of those plays, and yet as the game wore on, started getting Miles in there a little bit more and getting Jordan in there a little bit more, and you saw exactly, I mean, that great run by, you know, Miles had a couple of nice runs, you know, late in the game, third quarter, fourth quarter, the touchdown that came back. So you can see how dynamic that can be, and we're just going to continue to work it that way. Sometimes it's the hot hand, but sometimes it's based on game plan and who's in at that particular time.
I know you said that the fourth and inches was a no-brainer. What about the 2-point conversion to go up 9? Was that a tougher one?
No. Because everything told us at that point, even before the drive started, that the communication we had was this was a two point drive. If we scored, you know, thinking was if you kick the extra point, you're up 8, and a touchdown 2-point, you're tied. So this way, it puts into a 2-score game and really puts the pressure back on them to do that.
What did you see from Jordan on the field? Specifically,
next. You're next.
What did you see from Jordan? He only had 6 carries, but what did he show you?
He runs behind his pads. He's low. He's a powerful guy, and quite frankly, you know, he made some catches out of the backfield, some difficult catches that were low, and being able to snag the ball. So this guy, we're excited about him, you know, and we just got to keep him coming and keep him in the mix.
Said after the game that they could kind of feel that human element of the jitters pregame. I'm curious if you think that could have been settled down with more reps in the preseason, or was that just something they needed to go through?
No, that's not a preseason deal at all. That's being excited for home opener and a great crowd that we had, and everybody was in their seats at kickoff, and I was feeling it. I mean, I was excited. I was nervous, butterflies. I mean, it was a great atmosphere, and I can – you can kind of feel that with the players, you know, just the excitement and nervous energy, you know, a little bit before the game. So, but it was all – it's all positive, and it's all good.
You and Mike Grohl
at halftime, DeSean Jackson had some words for the players. He broke the team down. What did he say to them? And do you see a maturity?
So I didn't hear exactly, because I said my remarks and I left. Dom and I walked out, and he did step in. I did hear and see that part of it, but we were out, so I didn't get a chance to hear exactly what he said.
A lot of people talk about how mature the class of this year, which obviously that's what we're doing. What do you see in them as maybe an emerging leader for some of us?
I mean, I think for him to do that, of course, he has history with the team. You know, he played there. And so for him to do that and in that sort of environment, you know, in front of the team, shows a lot of who he is and how he's grown up in this league. And listen, he's a competitor. He wants to win. And we weren't playing our best, you know, offense, defense, special teams, we weren't playing our best. So it was just a little friendly reminder, I believe, to the team that, you know, because the guys understand, I think they can, the potential's there, you know, we just got to continue to work. And he saw that, so he wanted them to understand that.
You and Mike Grohl had noted this offseason that.
Who was that?
You and Mike Grohl had noted this offseason that Carson was operating quicker, getting through his reads, stuff like that. I wonder if there's a play or two that's kind of example that in week one for that kind of game.
There were a couple of opportunities. First half called a play action pass that was designed to get Alshon the ball, and we ran a jet motion, and the safety can't remember his number. I think it was 23, maybe, but in the corner of the safety was going with Nelly on the motion, but then he stopped, and Carson was coming off the play fake, and he saw him sitting there, and instead of either trying to force it or move, Jordan Howard was in the flat. And he just dropped it right down to him. So he getting through the progression. Late in the game, he did the same thing. You know, right before the field goal, another opportunity. I called a pass again. He had an opportunity to shoot the ball down the field. It wasn't there. Put the ball in the flat. So, you know, those are the things we talk about. He's just going through the progression. You know, understanding the defense, putting the ball in the playmaker's hands, and continuing to work that way.
You saw Andre get a few snaps at that tight end, inline tight end position. How do they do there, and what are the coaching points for a guy kind of playing a little wider than he normally does?
Yeah, I thought he did a nice job. Probably oversat, you know, on the one protection a little bit too wide on Kerrigan on the second play of the game, but I thought he, you know, for the most part, played well. Kind of a new position for him. You know, we worked him there all week, tried to get him comfortable in that spot. And really, they're blocking the same guys, you know, those outside linebackers or DN type guys. So, you know, yeah, he is a little bit wider, but the technique's still the same. And, you know, something we'll continue to grow with him.
Were there any first half calls that you would have liked to have back?
What's that?
Were there any first half calls that you would have liked to have back?
What are you referring to?
No, not in particular. Just as everybody was sort of going into the locker room.
No. Never second guess yourself. I think it comes in bunches, but I think in the second half you saw, you know, Derek Barnett was a little disruptive. You know, he got some holding calls on their tackle. You know, BG coming off the edge a couple times, chased down a screen. I mean, there was some good effort and some good plays made by those guys.
With the defensive end numbers that you do have right now, and with Brandon Graham and Benny Curry having experience on the inside, do you think that could kind of mitigate losing Malik for a little while?
Yeah, it just taxes those guys a little bit more, having to move them around. That's something we're going to have to really, you know, think hard and look hard at these next couple of days before we move forward.
On the third and one call in the second quarter, Sproles, the pitch to Sproles to the right. What was the decision making behind that call, and what went wrong in the execution?
Well, the decision making was it was part of our short yardage menu. We had just lined up in the same personnel group formation and shift earlier, and had a sneak called. This was the second part of that play, and decision was to go with that call, and it just failed. We just didn't execute well.
You know what makes Carson so effective on those third and one, fourth and ones, and how does his ability on those plays kind of affect your play call, your decision making?
You talking about the sneaks? Well, the sneaks start with the offensive line, and with Kelsey and Isaac and Brandon, those are the three guys that get a lot of movement, with their tackles, because they're gonna put those big guys right in the gaps and make it hard. But gosh, they rolled them out of there pretty good, and then Carson's long, powerful with his legs, and did a nice job of just hitting that apex and that wedge and just kind of riding the wave. Just well executed.
At corner, what led you to start Douglas over Jones?
Well, we knew going in that they were all going to play. And really, Razul had been really working at that spot for the majority of the time, and Sydney was going to get some opportunity in this game. So all three got a chance to play, and it was good to see them all in there.
And so when Jones went in the second half, was that planned or was that a response to Douglas's play in the first half?
No, it was all planned. Yeah, everything's planned.
When you look at Tim Jernigan, obviously if Malik's going to be out for a while, he's going to have to step up. As far as the way he's playing this year, last year he was obviously hurt and wasn't, close to full strength. Have you seen, a big improvement in him since last year?
Yeah, I've seen, the confidence, obviously, number one, coming back from the injury that he sustained. And then two, he's got a lot of energy. He's an excitable guy. He loves playing the D-line position. Just somebody that brings a level of energy and power to the inside, And so, now he's going to obviously get an opportunity here with the next few weeks to play a little bit more and really would expect nothing less from him. Okay, thanks.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is there anything that jumps out to why you guys weren't able to get off to a fast start like you wanted?
Anything in particular? No, I thought, we were off to a positive start and then got, found ourselves in a challenging position there at 3rd and 17. And so that drive ended and we had a 13-play drive. We didn't get any points on. We're going to be aggressive. We're, our DNA and what we want to get done on fourth downs. And we were doing it there and they knocked the pass down. So I think those are our first two drives. There's a lot of good execution right there. And we just got to build on all the positive things that we did well. And I think that we've, found our groove certainly there in the second quarter and really controlled the game from there on.
Hey, Mike, what goes on behind the scenes, whether it's in practice, in the meeting room, in the game planning, to prepare for third downs?
Well, we exhaust the tape, number one, look at all the third downs that we looked at every third down that Washington had last year. We studied by a number of different things, the down and distances, the parameters that we have set, different personnel groups. Obviously got to study, their sub-pressure package and make sure that our protection plan is sound so that we can protect the quarterback first and then try to put our guys in position to win their matchups. And sometimes that's by scheme, and other times it's because we got good players and we trust the players.
What would you say is the biggest strengths of this Falcons defense coming up?
Oh, boy. They got a lot of talent over there, a lot of team speed. Very aggressive penetrators. They want to try to, you know, create negative plays and get you off schedule, and then let their, you know, their rushers get after you. And they got some guys that are very talented, you know, from an individual pass rush standpoint.
Mike, you guys did a good job of getting mismatches for Sean and Alshon on a linebacker in the end zone. You know, what went into that, and how much, you know, was it just you have guys that can by themselves create mismatches?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we certainly feel good about our matchups, you know, on most plays, regardless of who they're playing against. And, you know, some of it's scheme and film study and game planning and you know, other cases where, you know, you talk about the end zone touchdown that Carson scrambles out on. First of all, he does a great job of stepping up, you know, eluding the rush, getting out there and fitting that ball. I mean, and when you watch it on our tape, it's just a tiny window at the linebacker, you know, trying to reach over and break it up. So great catch by Alshon, certainly a really, really good play there by Carson. So that's an instance of two guys really, you know, stepping up and making a really good individual play. From a schematic standpoint, you know, we've liked that play for a number of different reasons for a couple of different coverages that we could have gotten. So we thought it was a good all-purpose play.
We had a couple of those off schedule throws on the run.
Yeah.
After training camp, we saw them mostly in the pocket. Where's that balance right now between letting him do those things but also being a pocket passer?
Well, we would never put the, you know, the reins on him, so to speak, and that's who he is. That's in his DNA. It's in his bloodstream. He's got the ability to extend plays, and you know, we saw that come to life on Sunday. A couple of those third downs where he escaped out there to the left and found Zach, then found Alshon, extended the drive there on a couple of those plays, and on the red zone touchdown where he was able to do that. And so, you know, we don't put any kind of restrictions on his ability to do that. It just doesn't show up so much in practice. It's kind of hard to simulate that in practice, so to speak. There's a quick whistle. Obviously, he's not live in practice, and usually we're rarely live in practice. So that's just kind of something that I think comes to life in the game a little bit too.
What was your take with the running back committee? Doug mentioned that certain guys run certain plays a little bit better. How careful do you have to be from a self-scout standpoint to not let the opponent know which guy runs this play?
Right. I'd say that we have confidence in the guys running all the schemes, but we do try to get everybody involved and in the mix. And so then, you know, you got to try to, you know, balance that with, like you said, you got to do a great job self-scouting yourself and making sure that they're in on some things from a weekly basis that maybe you didn't show the week before. So we're constantly massaging that and managing that. And like I said, we got a lot of confidence in those guys to run all the runs that we have in, you know, on each game plan.
Mike, Carson obviously is almost unstoppable on those keepers. Two-part question. What makes him so good on third and one, fourth and one on a keeper? And also, are you
– Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure you were saying the sneak. I got you.
Yeah, the sneaks. Is there any concern? I mean, you know, he's actually done more of those than anyone other than Cam Newton since he came in the league. So you guys obviously are real comfortable with him. Is there any concern about putting him at risk on those plays, and what makes him so good on
– Well, I think it starts up front, you know, with our offensive line and – you know, certainly those three interior guys. It was Isaac. I think Isaac actually had a pancake on one of the sneaks in the game. But Kelsey and then Brandon, Brooks, the three of those guys in there wedging. And then, you know, Carson's a big, strong guy. So his added strength and push behind those guys makes it a tough play to stop. So we got a lot of confidence in it. And hopefully, you know, he can get up from the pile each and every time. But we got a lot of confidence in that play. And try not to put him at any undue risk.
You mentioned Isaac's pancake. It seems like we've heard about his strength for a while, but it's seen it show up now. How much farther along is he in that regard of his game?
I don't know his exact strength numbers off the top of my head, but, you know, I think he's playing with excellent technique. He's certainly very confident in his game right now, and we felt really good about our preparation, and he was, you know, one of those guys that practiced with a, you know, high intensity level throughout the course of training camp, and I think it showed up on Sunday.
What's your length for a sneak? Is it like a yard strictly, or would you do one for 2 yards? Do you have a
I think depending on the circumstance. I wouldn't say any hard and fast rule. A little bit depends on, you know, the circumstance in the game. Some of it's gut feel. I mean, obviously, the further away from the first down, the less chance that you're going to do it. But, you know, anywhere from probably 2 yards in, pretty standard.
When we look at this Falcons defense,
looked like they got gashed pretty good in the run, you know, in the run game. And I think Cousins only threw maybe 10 passes. Is that kind of a blueprint that you guys can use from that game?
It's a pretty unique game for the NFL to be able to win a game like that and only call, I think they called 14 passes, but to 8 of 10 in the final stats. They did run it well. I think it was 4.5 yards a carry, which is good, but maybe not quite as dominant as it might have sounded just hearing about the highlights over the television. So, I think they had a punt blocked early. They had the first drive on the 20. They started the second drive on the 40. So very positive field position to start the game, and we're able to kind of control the game from there. So, we have a lot of respect for the Falcons. We know they've been really good on defense for a number of years now, and we know it's going to be a big challenge for us.
It seemed like Miles is running into heavy boxes. Did you guys notice anything about that, and why do you think that might have been the case if it was?
No, I wouldn't say that was the case. I mean, there's going to be times where they try to overload the box, and then we've got our run packages that we put together to try to handle those kinds of things, make sure we're half for hat, and we're not leaving a free hitter in the hole. And I think Miles ran the ball really well. He was able to slow through there a couple times. He saw a real burst and change of speed on the second level, and so he did a really good job in his pass protection. I think he got asked that last week about were we confident in him, and he was targeted on his pass protection and stepped up and took on the linebacker a couple times, did a really good job with that. So we think he'll continue to progress.
Yeah, he had 4 negative plays. Is there any teaching point there, or is it more what the defense did or anything he could do differently?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, anytime you have a negative, it's never just one guy. So very pleased with the start that he had on Sunday. And, we had one exchange issue that, we obviously got to get that cleaned up. But.
Hey, Mike, you mentioned the outliers in the Falcons game, the block punt, the good field goal position. I think they were down 28-0. From a game plan perspective, does that make it a little bit more difficult because those situations probably aren't going to happen again?
Yeah, well, you certainly can't plan on that. But you try to glean out all the information that you can from watching the game on Sunday. Obviously, that's the most recent exposure we have with Dan Quinn calling the defense. You look at all the preseason games and everything they did. But, you know, his personality is going to come out over the course of the season as a play caller. It's been a number of years since he's done that. So we're doing all our research there. And like I said, we got a lot of respect for their defense. They got a lot of really talented guys over there, and it'll be a challenge in there on Sunday.
What was your evaluation of Andre Dillard, and can you just speak to what challenge the offensive line is going to have in that dome?
Yeah, we'll be prepared for the noise. We certainly be prepared. Not our first road game, road test. I mean, 2 games ago we played down in New Orleans in the playoffs. It was pretty loud, so our guys are accustomed to that. We'll have prepared. We'll work with the noise all week. And Andre did a good job. Just stepped in there, got a couple plays, got his feet wet. So we know he'll continue to progress.
Mike, you're also a coordinator. When you go for it on 4th and 2 from your own territory, what goes through your mind? Why do you like that Doug is so aggressive?
Well, I think it just speaks to the confidence we have in our players. The belief and the trust and the confidence that we can get the job done. And so I think that they feed off that. And, obviously we were successful there and, made a big difference there in that opening drive of the second half and our ability to go down and score and really kind of seize momentum of the game.
Thanks.
Yep. Hey, thank you.
Report out there that Malik has suffered a slip. Frank has done for the year. I don't expect you to confirm it, but obviously you're going to be out with him, be without him for a while. What does that do to your unit?
We'll probably be without him for a while. Malik's an important part of what we do, and we'll certainly miss him when he's on the field, but we got plenty of guys that can step up and play, and that's nothing new in the NFL. It doesn't change our task from game to game, and it doesn't change our task over the course of the year. We'll get him healthy and get him back. And if I know Malik, he'll do a good job staying engaged while he's rehabbing. I've been really impressed with him as a professional, not just as a player, but as a professional. I'm sure you guys have too.
What have you seen from Tim Jernigan, even just dating back to training camp through week 1? I know he had that big sack. I mean, how much progress has he made from what he went through last year?
Yeah, it was a tough year for Timmy last year, coming back from an injury and, working hard to get back on the field. It's tough for any player. But he's a good player, and you know, we saw that in the plays that he played on Sunday, and we're going to need him to you know, get back to that, which I think he is. You know, he made a lot of plays in training camp practices, maybe some that you guys saw, maybe some that you guys didn't. But we have a lot of confidence in him, not just against the run, but against pass also. And, you know, that that sack that he had was a really, really well-executed stunt between him and Vinny. And Vinny was a guy that was good to get back out there making a contribution to us, too. He played physical, brought us some energy, and, you know, we're glad to have that back with us. Timmy does the same thing. You know, it was a hurry-up situation, so you weren't able to get Timmy's shimmy, so to speak, after he makes his play. But that brings us energy. Anytime he's made a play, brings us energy on defense.
You mentioned, you know, Vinny Curry. But did you see enough from the perimeter pass rush in this game? Would you like to see more?
Yeah, they'd like to. They were doing a lot of double chipping, you know, and I think that really what we needed to do is we needed to cover better to be able to get the pass rush home. Including blitzes, you know, blitzes that block them up, but you have guys that are adding to running backs and adding themselves to the pressure. I think it was more a case of that. Anytime somebody takes a max up approach, which they did an awful lot, they kept a lot of tight ends in, it's going to be hard to get there on the outside. You know, the thing I was probably most disappointed in pass rush was the last series. You know, you got 2-score lead. As long as we don't do something stupid, we're going to win the game. By doing something stupid, I mean a ball over our head. So, you know, keep it in front, let them bleed the clock. But those are good chances to get rush. And I think at that point you saw that it was first game for us and a lot of guys were playing their first game of the year. And, you know, our conditioning probably wasn't where it can be and where it will be. And there were opportunities to make some plays there because there we weren't getting all those heavy play actions and heavy double chips. We can do better, certainly. In pass rush, but I think in coverage we can make quarterback hold the ball a little bit longer and buy time for some of our guys to get home.
In the summer, you were talking about playing your ends at end and your tackles at tackle. Is that still how you're thinking, even with Malik out?
We did that a few times in that game. If you guys saw some of those, you know, we can still do that. You know, Fletch can do it. He's done it for us in the past. You know, we've done that before. We can do it in the future. I don't think it takes us out of any packages like that.
You guys have played the Falcons once a year since you've been here and have held them in check pretty well. What's the common thread there, if any?
I don't know. Every game's different. Every game's different set of circumstances. You know, I think this is the first challenge that we've had on the road with the Falcons. It's a little bit like, you know, every year it seemed like we were going to Seattle or Los Angeles and playing those games on the road. And, you know, now we get Seattle at home this year. We do, right? Yeah. Yeah, the Falcons as best far as I can get. But it is going to be a little bit different. You know, they've been in a hostile environment. Now we're going down to a hostile environment, so we have to carry that over. You know, I mean, I think whether it's stopping the Falcons or any NFL team, you know, try to limit the run game, try to take big plays away, you know, stop drives on third down, win in the red zone. Red zone's been important to us the last couple of years with those guys, just to keep the score down. We'll have to do a lot better job playing the pass than we did a couple of days ago.
What happened to the 69-yard touchdown pass with Russell?
Yeah, that was pressure. Didn't get home on the pressure. Didn't cover very well. You know, every play is a combination of a million things. You know, I mean, if a guy doesn't cover well, you can cover it up sometimes with, you know, somebody winning in pass rush or somebody winning on a blitz. If a guy covers really good, like we talked about before, you know, sometimes you can cover up a guy not winning in pass rush. That one we had a combination of a lot of different things, and we paid the price for it.
Was coverage as a whole, typically, corner's not a rotational spot, but obviously, you had Ronald on the pitch count. Do you think that plays into it, guys moving parts?
No, there's no excuse there. Our guys have all played a lot of football. And it really wasn't pitch counts as much as it was. You know, Vontae went down cramping. You know, Darby went down cramping at one point. You know, we were mixing and matching. Sid was playing the slot. rotation really didn't work out the way that we wanted to because of Sid going down and playing the slot and then moving outside. But, you know, it's not ideal long term, but right now, you know, do that until we settle in its position and then see where that takes us.
What happened on the other deep ball where I think it was McLaurin again got open, but it was just overthrown?
Yeah, that was another one. That actually was another pressure there, too. Everybody always wants a blitz, but nobody likes when those deep balls go up against blitz. But, it was a very similar situation. We could do a better job in coverage, a little better job in pass rushing, a little better in our overlap in coverage. We were lucky we didn't pay the price for that one.
You see Sidney and Rasul kind of continuing to rotate there on the outside. Is that kind of – does it go, like, game by game and like, I guess as far as someone plays, depending on how well they're doing?
We'll see where it is. I mean, see how many snaps. And one thing is, you know, particularly third quarter, we were getting stops. The offense was holding the ball for, you know, 20 plays a drive or whatever. Our guys were fresh. We really didn't need a whole lot of rotation there. But every game's different. You never know what it's going to look like, how many snaps you're going to have to play, things like that. So we'll take it on a game-by-game basis and see where it takes us.
Can you pinpoint any reason why the coverage wasn't, up to, you know, what you expect?
Yeah, they were all a little bit different. I think you have a tendency when you give up a play to get a little less aggressive in coverage, and then we gave up some underneath things. But there was a lot of different things. Overall, we just didn't, particularly in that first half, didn't have a lot of sync. Our zones weren't good. Our man wasn't good. Our blitz wasn't good. We were still stopping the run pretty good. But, whether it's a combination of tackling or, you know, angles going to the ball or defending deep to short or playing tight coverage, it just didn't look like us. It didn't look like what we'll look like. I was really proud of the team. Not just defense. I was really proud of the team to come out at halftime the way that we did. Played a really, really good third quarter. And, that's tough, you know. And everybody always likes to have those games where everything's going right and, you know, you're doing the electric slide and everybody's, you know, everybody's into it. And it feels great. But, you know, sometimes long term, it's better to have a game like we had and to look bad in the first half and to get booed off the field. And, well, I mean, we deserve that. I'd have been booing, too. But it was interesting because we just weren't playing good. It wasn't anything that we needed to particularly address. Wasn't really a whole lot of changes we made. We really didn't make a ton of changes at halftime. The guys just came out with more resolve and they played the way that they can. We got third down stops. We played tight coverage, stopped the run, got forced some penalties. Like I said, our pass rush wasn't the greatest as far as sacks and things like that, but we forced a lot of holding penalties, which stopped the drives or put the offense or their offense in some tough positions. We just got to get there. We got to get to where we're coming out and playing that way. No excuses. We didn't start that game the way we needed to.
Would you prefer to not rotate a corner?
I think we'd like to get it settled, but we got a lot of guys that can go out there and contribute. And I think, like, we'd probably prefer to have different packages for different matchups and for different things like that. But, you know, when you do have guys that haven't played in the preseason, guys come back from injuries and things like that, I think it's just sort of a fact of life. You get long drives, you get different things. We're prepared to play it anyway, but, you know, I think that when it's all said, when it gets settled down, we'll be in a good spot because we have a lot of guys that have got experience.
Will that give any kind of opportunity like Deshaun Hall or Sharif Miller, or is it strictly, do you look to the defensive tackles there? Will you move ends inside like you did last year, you think?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll take that as we go and see. You know, this year we had been rushing a lot more out of our 2-and-2 packages, two defensive ends, two defensive tackles. And, you know, having guys like Malik and Fletch gave us some flexibility there. Remains to be seen.
Two more assessment of Derek Barnett playing for the first time in about 11 months.
Yeah, played hard. You know, he always plays hard and gives us good energy. You know, I mean, there's some things he can do better. He was playing tough. He was playing physical. He was, he affected the game. Do a good job against the run. Rather not get those two penalties that he got. You know, I mean, and those are good learning experiences for him. I mean, that guy was going to make that field goal. He was going to miss it. He wasn't going to be short, but if that had put him close enough that he barely crossed the bar, that would have been dear penalty in the first half. We got to learn from that. We can't put ourselves in that position.
As a defensive coordinator, what's it like to have an offensive head coach play caller that might go for it on fourth and one, minus 34?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we are. You know, it doesn't surprise us. I mean, it's been that way for 4 years. Our defense is ready, and we know it's our job to go out there and cover us up if we don't get that. I think any defensive player likes aggressiveness from a head coach in those situations. We're a pretty good short yardage team. We're a pretty good quarterback sneak team. Our guys have a lot of confidence in our offense's ability to get it.
Okay.